But we start with a crackdown on spare room rentals. Cash-strapped homeowners and thrifty tourists have turned to short-term vacation rental, and they've created an industry that's a multi-billion dollar boon. After years of sleeping off the radar, spare rooms advertised on Craigslist and Airbnb.com are now getting the attention of the powerful hospitality industry. Lobbyists for the tourism trade from Paris to Perth are pressuring municipalities to crack down on homeowners renting property for less than a month. In less than a year, police raids in New York have issued more than 1,900 violations with no sign of letting up. Blake Fleetwood is a freelance columnist and former New York Times staffer. He wrote about the B&B crackdown for the Washington Monthly. And Blake, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
Short-term vacation rentals have been operating for years. Why getting so much attention now?
Well, it's basically because of the Internet. The Internet has allowed people to rent short-term vacation rentals all around the world and check out pictures, look at reviews. It makes the industry viable. It's a high-tech, low-tech, burgeoning new industry that's exploding all around the world.
So what's the argument being made against them by the hotel and tourism industry?
Well, it's also combined with, in New York City, we have a lot of regulated rents.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the tenants have jumped on this, too, although it really doesn't affect regulated apartments. Most of the apartments being rented out, rooms are not regulated. The hotels naturally have been going through some very rough periods, and they're concerned about losing business. In New York, hotels run about $400 or $500 a night for anything like these vacation rentals, and the vacation rentals run about $150 a night. So naturally, people are flocking to these vacation rentals, and some of them are not staying in hotels. More of them probably wouldn't come if they had to pay $500 a night. But it's a small threat to the hotel industry. I estimate that about there are about 50 million tourists every year to New York City, and about 2 million of them stay in vacation rentals. So it's a small threat.
So the hotel tourism industry and unions asking local governments for more regulation. Interesting twist, finding an industry asking for more regulation or government intervention right now, isn't it?
Yes, there have been a lot of strange bedfellows in this fight here. Actually, this is a situation where you have entrepreneurs and the small businesses against the big businesses, and the big businesses have made an alliance with the tenants, and so that's where the problem runs. And the unions control a lot of what goes on in the state legislature, and they're the ones who passed this offensive bill.
That's in New York City, of course. Apparently, police raids have been made on homes. Which other cities are shutting down home B&Bs?
Well, it's all over the world, really, but none have been so bad as New York City. I mean, London, for example, during this Olympic situation, is struggling the same way in Paris, in Perth, in New Orleans, in Florida. In Florida, ironic situation is the state legislature forbids cities to forbid short-term rentals.
What?
Many of the cities wanted to have laws that wanted short-term rentals, but the state legislature forbid the cities from making such laws.
We're talking about the legal crackdown against do-it-yourself bed and breakfast operations, many times operating and being facilitated on the Internet. Our guest is the freelance journalist Blake Fleetwood. Well, Blake, one of the homeowners you interviewed in New York didn't even know it was against the law to rent out his room until the police showed up at his doorstep. So how well publicized is this campaign? And how does someone like Airbnb, an organization like that, continue to operate?
Airbnb has more rooms for rent, about 4,500 rooms every night, than any of the largest hotels. They just continue to rent, and the people who rent out their rooms risk being raided. It's a strange situation, and it brings a lot of tourists to town and the city. Actually, the entrepreneurs who are renting out their rooms are begging the city to regulate this industry and to pay taxes. There's a 17% hotel tax that they are dying to pay, but the city refuses to regulate them. One of the big problems with this whole industry is making sure that you're getting that there's going to be a room available
right.
when you get there, and that's why regulation would be so important. so that the scam artists would be driven out.
The homeowners want to distinguish themselves from the scammers.
Right. The homeowners think that they're the good guys, and they want to drive out the scammers and drive out people who are really taking affordable apartments off the market.
Well, you know, I've stayed in these places. They call them particulares, you know, privates, owners in Cuba, Central America, Brazil. And, you know, it's a great way to see a place because you're staying with a family. And I imagine that an argument could be made that these cheaper, more intimate rentals actually increase tourism cities that are prohibitively expensive. Will these more stringent regulations likely help or hurt the tourism economy?
It's definitely going to hurt. I mean, for example, if you're coming from New Hampshire and you've got two or three kids, you just can't get a hotel room for under $400 or $500, and you're not going to be able to get a kitchen, a full kitchen, to feed your kids. So, and for you can rent these apartments for $150, $200. Mm. We figure a survey was done, and basically 94% of these people who rent vacation apartments would not be able to come and would not be able to afford these. New York is especially expensive.
Right.
It's outrageously expensive. And New York needs to offer a slightly lower level of rentals. Very interesting. But they're also very expensive rentals. For example, President Obama went to Hawaii a couple of years ago and rented a place for, I think, $80,000 for a two-week rental.
Whoa.
One of the local newspapers in Hawaii found out that the place wasn't registered or regulated for a two-week rental, and it was, in fact, an illegal rental to the president.
Whoa.
So it was an interesting twist on it. I mean, it happens all over New Hampshire. People are renting out apartments and rooms for a week or 2 weeks, you know, on any of the resort places or the ski areas or the beach areas. And it's a great way of using assets that people have that are underused.
Well, Blake, I want to thank you for pointing it out to us and for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Virginia. Good luck.
Blake Fleetwood is a freelance journalist and columnist and also former New York Times staffer. Now, you can find a link to his article. It's called DIY B&B at the Washington Monthly Magazine website. We've got a link at wordofmouthradio.org. And as Blake said, we did call the New Hampshire Lodging and Restaurant Association. That's the state's hospitality lobby, to find out if they're pushing to restrict short-term residential renting. They're not. So all legal here. You can see a link to Airbnb's New Hampshire listings at wordofmouthradio.org, where we lodge free or die.